had a beautiful chorus. You know, it's something we can sing anywhere, anytime. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy, worthy is your name. Oh Lord Jesus, guide us now by your Holy Spirit. That we who are called by your name, we can know you as Lord and Savior, who walk up a worthy walk. Worthy of the name of Christ that we bear. Lord, we confess that in and of ourselves we cannot do that. We don't have the strength, we don't have the wisdom. Lord, oftentimes we don't even have the will. But Lord, you know all things, and it's our heart's desire that you would be our all in all, and that you would direct the course and direction of our hearts, our wills, that you would give us knowledge and understanding of your will, that we walk in, that you would give us the power and strength by your Spirit through this your word. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ, our Savior. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus has addressed many issues of the heart. And we've gone through all those different issues. But now he's addressing something that's extremely destructive to the heart. Not only to the heart, but also to the very soul, mind, and body of the individual. And that is a sin of worry. And worry is a sin. Worry can not only be destructive to the individual, but it can be destructive even to relationships. It can affect marriages. It can affect families. Worry has even affected church families. So worrying about this, worrying about that. Sinful worry and sinful fears are often connected. Oftentimes people who have that life-dominating worry or anxiety, there's a level of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of loss. Fear of something unknown. So oftentimes worry and fear go together. And the instructions that the Lord gives here on anxiety and worry can also be applied to fear. This teaching of the Lord's does not in any way deny having what you would call a righteous concern. The Lord was righteously concerned for Israel. The Lord was righteously concerned for Jerusalem. And many times he expressed that concern. And you and I, and certainly we have a righteous concern for our children, for our grandchildren. We have a righteous concern for the witness and testimony of the assembly of Christ here, South Mountain Bible Church. Both within the community here as well as other communities. And so those concerns are good, they're important. But here we're talking about worry that is sinful, worry that expresses a lack of trust, worry that expresses really a lack of faith. Now we all have that. We all have that potential. We all have been there, haven't we? If we're truly honest with ourselves. We've all worried. So what does the Lord want us to do? I want to share three thoughts with you from this passage. It's a very familiar passage. And so, not to minimize the teaching, but the three thoughts for us to take away today from God's Word is that we have something to stop. We have something to seek, and we have something to show. So I invite you to take out your outline as we go through this passage, as we take a look at something to stop, something to seek, and something to show. May it all be down to the glory of God and to the honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin. Something to stop. Three times he says, do not worry, don't be anxious. So we understand when he says, do not, that's in the imperative. And so he says, this is something to stop. And it's interesting because the construction of that, it's stop doing it. You're doing it right now. Stop it. You know, like a child who's disobeying and he's in that process of disobeying. He says, stop that. And that's exactly what the Lord is saying. Stop that. Stop worrying. Don't be anxious. And again, we can also tie in the emotion, sometimes life-dominating emotion like worry, that of fear also. There's something to stop. Stop worrying. The word here for worry has the idea of something that's divided, something that's even torn apart, separated. And sometimes worry does that too, doesn't it? You know, emotionally and sometimes even physically it affects us and just tears down our health and our strength. Worries and over-anxious concern, as you see in your outline before you, just a very simple definition from a biblical standpoint of what worry, sinful worry, is. It's an over-anxious concern regarding the future and things that keep a person from fulfilling current biblical responsibilities. I find that oftentimes worry does that in my life. It holds me back from doing the things that I know Christ wants me to do. Is that true with you also? Because you're worried. And Jesus says, stop. Just stop it. No, it's easier said than done, isn't it? But we want to see how Christ is instructing us that we can do it in Him. Just recently, there was a study, and it suggested the average person's anxiety focused on these areas. 40% about things that will never happen. I've been there, haven't you? You've worried about something, you feared something, didn't happen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we wasted all that time just worrying, all that energy just worrying, okay? 30% about the past. Why do we worry about the past? We can't do anything about it, but we do. 12% about criticism by others, which mostly is untrue. But we think they're criticizing us. We worry about that. 10% about health, which gets even worse when we worry. So why worry about the health? We could be righteously concerned that I'm doing the right thing, that we're praying, we're looking to the Lord and using the available resources of grace that He has for us. Only 8% about real things that we will face are about worries. Well, the Lord repeatedly tells us not to worry, and of course even Paul picks that up. This sinful worry is often connected with sinful fear, a powerful and often habitual focus on a perceived danger or loss that prevents us from properly loving God and loving others. This kind of fear has a source from other than God. There are appropriate godly concerns where there is a righteous concern. There is also having a righteous fear of God. But that's not something that, like a phobia, if you will. A righteous fear of God is seeing how awesome He is. How wonderful and amazing He is. Having a reverence. Coming before Him with a humble heart. He's not my buddy. He's my dad. Not my buddy. My Lord. So stop worrying. Let's take a look, if you will, at verses 25 through 32. Would you follow with me as I read these? This is Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. Or another translation says, do not worry. Literally it would be just stop worrying. Stop being anxious about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, and again in the Sermon on the Mount throughout the Gospels, the word Gentile is often the term used for unbelievers. Unbelievers. Okay, so the unbeliever, if you will, seeks after these things, and your heavenly Father knows. If you have your own Bible, I want you to circle that phrase. Your heavenly Father knows. One of the most beautiful phrases in the Word of God, your heavenly Father knows. Whatever you're going through right now, your heavenly Father knows. Whatever need you have right now, your heavenly Father knows. And you know something? He knows about our tomorrows too. Isn't that great? Your Father, your heavenly Father knows. Let's continue on. In fact, you need all of that. So, something to stop. What is that? Stop worrying. Stop worrying about it. Now, the Lord uses food and drink and clothing and length of life. I mean, he's talking about all the needs to sustain life. Okay? That would include certainly our work, where we live, what we do, what he's provided for us. He's provided those things for his glory through our lives as we use them for his glory and for his kingdom. But not to worry about. Not to worry about. And so the Lord is using some of the, if you will, some of the basic things of life. But what he's talking about is the sustenance and the security of life. We should not worry about those things. Christ is our security. In him we are secure. He holds us right in his hand. And don't you think that that hand that holds us securely is the same loving hand that will provide for us?
Thank you.
The same loving hand that will guide us? Stop worrying. God says that. And Bill Gray has to listen. And maybe you haven't listened to. Maybe you're worried about something right now. Your Heavenly Father knows. And he's saying to you right now, stop. Just stop. And he's saying that as a loving Father. Stop worrying. There's some unchangeable truths in this passage that we just read. In your outline before you, we'll just read through them. Unchangeable truths in the face of ever-changing worries. Because sometimes my worries today are the same ones I have tomorrow. Have you found that? You know, there's always new worries to have, aren't there? Whatever that may be. But sometimes there's that nagging thing that going on right now that will take you to tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Some unchangeable truths in the face of ever-changing worries. Keep the right perspective, number one. You can find that in verse 25. Our lives are far more than just the externals. Using those basic needs of life, food, drink, clothing, raiment, whatever. But he's saying, you know, isn't your life far more than that? And so he's asking a rhetorical question. So obviously our answer is, yeah, it is, Lord. Thank you. I'm going to get new robes when I go to heaven. Amen. I'm going to get new body when I go to heaven. Praise God! But he's also taking care of my body right now. Whatever I happen to be going through, whatever you happen to be going through, your Father knows. And you are so much more than just the external things that are going on. But something else. Know that we are of great value to our Heavenly Father than the birds. And then the lilies of the field. In fact, he asked that question. Verse 26. Are you not much of more value than they? Yes, you are. You see, he loves his creation. And he says it's very good after creation. And after all those days, 6 days of creation, every day that is good. And then he says, and it is very good. But you know, the only thing in all of his creation that bears his image is you and I. Not the birds of the field, not the lilies of the field. The birds of the air, I'm sorry, they're in the field too, they're in the air. But only you and I bear his image. And you know what more? Because you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you bear his mark. You bear his mark, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Where he can say, you're mine. You're mine. Your Father knows. Go on. Worry will never lengthen our lives. In fact, it will probably make life, will lose the quality of life. I don't believe that worry. Let me put it this way. Psalm 139 tells me, and I'm sure it tells you too, that before you and I were conceived, the Lord knew us. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, because that's what's taught in God's word. And he said to David, and David expresses this in Psalm 139, he says, all the days of my life were written in the book before there was one of them. So worry will not hasten your death, but it will really rob you of the quality of life that God wants you to enjoy. You and I have an appointment. I don't know when, you don't know when, but we will see him face to face. Aren't you glad? Amen. Your Father knows. Your Father knows. Believe it, our Heavenly Father knows all of our personal needs. All of our personal needs. Though we can't see him, we know that he knows. And he sees. During the terrible days of the Blitzkrieg there in England, a father was holding a small boy by the hand. They were running from the building that had just been struck with a bomb. And in the front yard was a shell hole from a previous bombing the other day. And seeking shelter quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms to his son to follow and jump down in there with him. But because it was night in the shadow of the hole, the son said, I can't see you. And the son was terrified. But the father replied, but I can see you, son. Jimmy, just trust in me. Go ahead and jump. I'm here. I'm not implying that your faith is a leap of faith. I'm not implying that at all. But though we can't see him, he's there. He's there with open arms many times for his children. Say, come back. Come back home. Your worry has taken you away. Come back home. Your Father knows. Have you ever worried so much about something or someone or about yourself that it affected your walk with the Savior? I have. Right there. With open arms. All of creation declares that our Father is in control, that he cares. So Paul says it this way, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and with petition, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord says, right here, for you a little faith. I want my faith to grow. Don't you want your faith to grow? Amen. One of the ways it grows is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the Word of God that feeds our soul, feeds our spirits, and instructs our mind, and our faith will grow. Because it says there in God's Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. And we're studying right now. We're looking at, we're reading, we're thinking about the words of Jesus Christ so that our faith will grow. And so there's something to stop. What is that? What do you want? What does he want us to stop? All together. He wants us to stop what?
Worry.
oh, you can do better than that. Stop. Something to stop is what?
Worry.
Okay, so stop worrying. Stop right now. But there's something to seek. And that's found in verse 33. But for the Gentiles, seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Something to seek. Something to seek. Seeking first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It's seeking His glory in all things. That His glory would be reflected from our lives and our doings and the things of seeking His reign in my life. Seeking His reign in my family. He is King of Kings, O Lord of Lords. So when we seek the kingdom of God, something, where is it? Where can I find it? It's right here. It's in you. It's in me. But seeking the kingdom of God first is a priority. Now, we all have responsibilities. Some different than others. Those who are married have certain responsibilities. Those who are single have certain responsibilities. Part of the body of Christ, we have certain responsibilities. We all have responsibilities. But the priority that God gives us is to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. His glory in all things, His reign in my life, His reign in my marriage, His reign in my family, His reign in the church, for He is the head of the church. How else do we seek the kingdom of God? By waiting, watching, and working for His kingdom. The Lord's coming, beloved. The Lord is coming. Are we waiting for Him? That wait isn't that we're sitting around. But we know that He's coming because He's promised that He's coming. So when you and I are seeking first as a priority the kingdom of God, yes, we're seeking His glory in all things. We're seeking His reign in my life, in my family, and in the church. We're also seeking His return. He will return. We look forward to it. That seeking, that longing for His return. Seeking God's, in your outline before you, seeking God's kingdom is a purpose as citizens of His kingdom. So many people today, they would meet, they're looking for a life that has purpose and meaning. And because they're saying, well, you know, I don't seem to have any purpose or any meaning. As a Christian, you and I cannot say that. We have a purpose and meaning right now as Christians in Christ Jesus to seek first the kingdom, His glory, His reign, and the announcement of His coming return. Seeking His kingdom is pleasing to Him. Paul tells us in Ephesians, learn what pleases the Lord. We know what pleases Him as we seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking His reign. Seeking also His reign in the lives of others that would come to faith in Him. Our children, our grandchildren. Do you have children that are saved? Praise God! Praise God. Do you have children that aren't saved? Pray. Pray that the kingdom of God and the great person of the Son, Jesus Christ, would come into their lives, that they would be saved, that they become a part of that kingdom. Our children, our grandchildren. Seeking God's kingdom is profitable for others because also seeking God's kingdom is proclaiming the gospel. We can hasten His return, I believe, by proclaiming the gospel. Peter says that, knowing that all these things in prophecy are going to be fulfilled. How then shall we now live? Because we can hasten the coming of the Lord. And we can do that by the gospel. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's something to stop. Stop what?
Worry.
Stop worry. Something to seek what? The kingdom of God. Now I know it also says, and His righteousness. And His righteousness. We want to kind of take that out, if you will. Not out of the Bible, by no means. But here in our study and how we apply it. How do you seek the righteousness and His righteousness? Well, first of all, as an unsaved person, I can't seek His righteousness by obeying the law. Paul tried that. He says, you know, he says, I try to seek my own righteousness, my own self-righteousness. And sometimes people do that by going to church. Sometimes people do that by getting baptized. Sometimes people do that by becoming pastors or missionaries or workers in the church. Seeking that righteousness and their self-righteousness, whatever. No. Paul says, oh, that was nothing. That I would have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin became sin for every one of us, that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, how do you seek after you're saved? And you've already had his righteousness on you, clothed in his righteousness, it says there in the Word of God. How do you seek his righteousness? By doing righteous acts. So that imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account and to my account now becomes the imparted, the empowered through the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Word of God, that you and I can walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's how you and I seek his righteousness. But how you and I live. As we stop worrying, as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Instead, take a look at your outline before you. Something to show. Something to show. Showing what? His righteousness. Showing that Jesus Christ is the only way of being righteous before God. And once we have found that righteousness in Jesus Christ, God wants to work out that righteousness in your life and my life. So people will see a transformed life, a Christ-like life. People will see a changed life. Not because of what you've done or what I've done, but because of what Christ is doing through us. I believe one of the great prepositions in a relationship that a believer has as a saved person is a preposition with. You and I are to live with Christ, we're to pray with Christ, we're to serve with Christ. I know some people, well, I'm serving for Christ. Yes, that has merit, that has meaning, but do we serve with him? You see, it's only in Jesus Christ that we have everything you and I need for life and godliness right now. And so we want to live in his sufficiency, live in all that he is, and live that out as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there's something to show. I don't want to show my worry, so I hide it. And God says, stop it, Bill. See, there's something to stop, but there's something to seek too. Whenever you ever stop a habit, you have to replace that habit with a good one, don't you? Otherwise, you'll be right back with the old one. I've been there. Sufficiency of God's grace, day by day. There in verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious. Do not worry about tomorrow. Three times in this passage, said, don't worry. Stop worrying. Just stop it. Therefore, stop it. Worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day, for the day is its own trouble. Sufficiency of God. Take a look at that verse. Paul puts it this way. You have there 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So you and I can, by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, we can stop worrying. And I have to learn how to do that. You do too. So why don't we learn that together? We're better together. We really are. And so we need to encourage one another. We need to remind one another. We need to share the testimony. And we're going to have a testimony night coming up in September. I want you to be there. I want you to be a part of it. Because that will build us up. That will strengthen us. It'll be a testimony and praise night. Okay? And so Paul puts it this way. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things. I love those alls, don't you? A little word. Sufficiency in all things, that at all times you may abound in every good work. What is that work? The priority is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and knowing that all these things, whatever your need is, Jesus Christ is sufficient for that need. And maybe through that need that he fulfills, he takes you home. I've had brothers and sisters that have said, Lord, touch my body. Lord, and he did. And he took them home. And I've had other brothers and sisters, Lord, bring healing. And we've seen where churches have prayed. And we've been part of that prayer time too for different ones. And God has healed. We've seen that here too. God has healed. We need to remember all of life and help come from God. But isn't it wonderful in saying that, that as a Christian you can say, my Heavenly Father knows. Amen? He knows my today. And he's told me to forget about it yesterday. But I press on to the mark of the high calling Christ Jesus, Paul says. Why? Because your Father knows. And so he says, there's something to stop. Stop worrying. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Just stop it. But there's something to see. His kingdom and his righteousness. Something to show. The righteousness of Jesus Christ and life that is lived out for God's glory. Just to help Bill Gray. I need help too. In the back, if you will, you're taking biblical steps to overcome sinful worry and fear. I'm not going to comment on them, I'm just going to read them through, but I want you to read them, I want you to think through them with me as I read them, if you will. Number one, distinguish between right concern and appropriate fear and sinful worry and fear. We can be righteously concerned for our children. Well, I said I wasn't going to comment.
Okay.
Don't stop. Just stop. Okay, number two, carefully list your feelings, your thoughts, your desires, and actions that cause or are related to your worries and fears, and begin to study them in the light of God's Word. That's a great one right there. That's part of biblical counseling. And we can counsel ourselves. I told you, I was in the comment. Bill, just stop. Okay. Confess and repent of any habits of unbelief, doubt, and idolatry. Acknowledge the temporary nature of many of your worries and fears. Number five, reflect on the faithfulness of God in providing for all his creation. Number six, rejoice in your identity in Christ. Amen? Yeah, let's say that one together. Rejoice in your identity in Christ. Okay? Learn to draw near to our caring Savior to find grace and help. Recognize the wasteful nature of worry and fear. Develop a faithful prayer life, which includes thanksgiving for all that God has already provided. Number 10, focus on fulfilling today's responsibilities in the power of Christ. It's through Christ and in Christ that we can do all things for his glory. Number 11. Practice loving God and others instead of focusing on what you might lose. Number 12. Allow God to use the occasions for your worry and fear to strengthen your faith and trust in him as you seek to have a righteous response to those occasions. There was a widow who had successfully raised a very large family. She was being interviewed by a reporter. In addition to the 6 children of her own, she had adopted 12 other youngsters. And through it all, she had maintained stability and an air of confidence. When asked the secret of her outstanding accomplishment, her answer to the newsman was quite surprising. She said, "I manage so well because I'm in a partnership." "What do you mean, a partnership?" she inquired. The woman replied, "Many years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do the work, and you do the worry. And I haven't had an anxious care since." God said, stop. Something to stop. God says, see. There's something to see. God says, show. Stop worrying. Seek the kingdom of God right now. Show his righteousness day by day. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, make it so practical and so applicable to our personal lives. Lord, you know where we are in our journey, where we are in our walk with you. So, Lord Jesus, we know that these words are your words. May they strengthen our faith and deepen our trust in you day by day as we see your grace poured into our lives for your glory. May we stop worrying. May we start seeking your kingdom with all fullness of heart, of mind, and soul. May we show forth your righteousness. In your name we pray. Amen.